And of course, there are some churches doing an awesome job. There are many. I believe we have some of the greatest churches maybe in all of history. Now we have some of the greatest pastors, some of the greatest teachers. But I'm speaking in generalizations. One other poll that we took for years. How many Christians knew their calling and their purpose, their ministry in the Lord? I did these polls at conferences with people like you who are so hungry you would pay money to come to something like this. You would pay your airfares and your hotel. You're that hungry after God. And yet, and when I did that polling, it was always less than 10% of the conference goers who even knew their calling, their ministry in the Lord. Way less than 5% were actually functioning in them. Now, in Ephesians 4, isn't the purpose of the ministry to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry? Not to do it themselves, but to equip the saints. We're not even equipping the saints to know what their ministry is. Think about this. How well would you be doing if less than 10% of your body was working? That's the condition of the body of Christ. We've got to fulfill the Ephesians 4 mandate. I know that is one change that is coming, but I'm about to share some aspects of, I believe, how it's coming. We're going to be mobilized as the army we're called to be. Now, I don't know. I know, you know, we have the Salvation Army, and we have different, you know, ministries that are called army, this or that. But really, that is an aspect, I believe, of the Lord and of His nature, which is very rare in the church, and yet it is something we are called to be, is His army. You know, we're called many things. We're called a temple, we're called a field, we're called a holy priesthood, a holy nation. We're called many different things. We're called His body, His bride, but we are also called an army. The army of the Lord. And the Lord uses the title Lord of Hosts, which means Lord of Armies, over 10 times more than all of His other titles combined. What is the one we like to quote the most of His names? Jehovah Jireh. The Lord our Provider. You know how many times that is found in Scripture? One time. You know where? Where he shows us where He becomes our provider. When Abraham made the ultimate sacrifice. He said, God will provide for Himself a lamb. So we like to emphasize God's provision, but do we understand it is also the place of ultimate sacrifice that He becomes our provision? That was also the very spot, remember, when the curse was released upon Israel because David numbered the people. Remember, the angel was about to strike Jerusalem, the angel of death, the destroying angel. And David went out to offer a sacrifice to stop the curse. Remember, he went to buy the land. And the owner said, no, I'll give it to you, and I'll give you all the cattle and everything to make the sacrifice. And David said, no way. I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I will pay the full price, which is what Abraham had done on that same spot. And, of course, that became the foundational spot where the temple of the Lord was built by Solomon. That is the foundation of who we're called to be. Like it or not, and not many Christians, I believe, know this. The true Christian life is a life built on sacrifice. It is a life of sacrifice. It is a life of taking up our cross daily. That is first and foremost. That is the foundation. But that's where we find our life. He who seeks to save his life will lose it. He who clings to his own life, to his stuff, is going to lose it. But if we will lose our life for his sake, we'll find true life. There is no greater liberty that we will ever experience than being Christ's slave. No greater liberty that we can ever know. These are paradoxes, but we've got to start living them, not just believing in them. There's a sacrifice of praise. There's a sacrifice that is required for fellowship. You know, earlier this year, I've known this for a long time, but I felt the Lord really emphasize it. You know, there are only two words in Scripture used in the New Testament used for the church. One of them is ecclesia, speaks of the government, the organization. The other is koinonia, which is translated fellowship. It's also translated communion, which means common union. But you know, the only place in the Bible, which is in the New Testament, where it tells us why Christians are weak or sick or die prematurely, it's because they don't have koinonia. Look it up. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. He talks about how when you partake of communion or the ritual of communion in an unworthy manner, you take of judgment upon yourself because you do not discern the Lord's body. And what he's saying by that is to do that in an unworthy manner is to partake of the ritual, thinking that that ritual fulfills the reality, and not having the reality in our life, not actually having communion with the Lord and with his people, is to partake of the ritual in an unworthy manner. Koinonia means far more than just fellowship. It literally means being so intertwined and interconnected together that you cannot separate the parts without killing them. That's how we're supposed to be connected with the body. I think koinonia is very rare in the body of Christ today. You know, nowhere does he say many are weak and sick and a number sleep because they don't have ecclesia. They don't have the right organization, or they don't have the right government. And as I see it, they didn't even try to impose ecclesia until there was koinonia. But often what we try to do is the opposite. We try to get people meeting the way we think they should meet, or having the government we think, doing it, I think, opposite. I mean, Paul the Apostle, he would lead people to the Lord and then just leave them. Then when there was koinonia, he would come back and then start bringing the ecclesia. Then start bringing that ecclesia. That's why I think today so much of what is called apostolic, I don't think we're building churches, I think we're building franchises. But there's going to be koinonia. As John wrote, 1 John 1:7, if we abide in the light as he is in the light, we have koinonia. He didn't say we have ecclesia. He said, we have koinonia with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You've been hearing me say for years how vital local church life is. It is absolutely vital. And we're going to know more and more how vital it is. It is not a club. I tell you, you can go to every service and not have koinonia. You can go to every service in a local church and not have koinonia. Matter of fact, it's hard to have koinonia when we're looking at the back of somebody's head every week. There's something else we've got to get. Now, for years, I've sought the Lord about what does it mean to be the army?